Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Greetings, trashlings, and welcome back to another exciting out of this world intergalactic episode of Space Trash.
Lifestyles of Rich and Uranus, and I'm Sarah Omar.
And I'm Molly Malshine. And we have got such an exciting episode for you. We have Molly Gaby coming to talk to us. She got arrested protesting the Mississippi abortion law at the Supreme Court a week or two ago. She was dressed like a vulva. And we also have Todd Chapman, who is a friend of Molly's. They're related or something. And Todd also was at the event. You have to look at Molly Gaby's Instagram and you can see the footage of Todd interacting with all of the anti-abortion protesters. It's very funny.
Todd does the moonual with us. You just haven't heard of him before, but Molly, you know how Molly and I do the moon ritual every 2 weeks? Todd has his own segment too.
Yeah. So Todd is unintentionally hilarious. I don't think he's trying to be funny, but
no,
he's a leader of the bro life movement. His slogan is there's a bro in every embryo. We get into that as well. So stay tuned for that. But first, Sarah.
I'm shook.
As the elder millennials we are, we've got to talk about the new Sex and the City and Just Like That episode. You know,
I'm actually like quivering.
Let's say don't listen to this right now if you don't want spoilers. If you haven't watched it yet,
disclaimer.
Not listen, because I got it spoiled for me on Twitter like six times before I got a chance to watch it. I was so annoyed. I was like,
dude,
you guys,
I've never been more shocked in my fucking life.
Yeah. So like, we're elder millennials. Sex and the City is our Bible. How are you going to spoil it for me on Twitter? But it got spoiled for me. So if you didn't watch it yet, I don't want it to get spoiled. So everyone, take this chance to fast forward by 20 minutes and then you will just listen to our abortion talk with Todd. That was your chance to skip.
Now it's on you.
Now it's on you. Let's get into it. Okay. So you were shocked by Big dying.
Big died.
At the end of the first episode, yeah.
And so it goes that they address Samantha right at the top. They're like, yeah, she doesn't want to be our friends anymore because business was mixed with pleasure or whatever. And it's like, okay, fine.
Okay, that was so shady because so the storyline that they're having for why Samantha's not there. Okay, we all saw the photos, the paparazzi photos of them shooting a funeral scene in New York City. So we were all like, who's dying? It's got to be either Samantha or Big. They dealt with Samantha within the first like 5-10 minutes. The first dig comes out when they're like, oh, they're saying to Bitsy Von Muffling, Samantha moved to London. And Bitsy goes, sexy sirens in their 60s are still viable there. That was so rude. They had to say Samantha's in her 60s and no longer viable in New York City. They had to say it. I thought that was such a dig. And then a couple minutes later, they actually talk about it and they say that the reason Samantha's not there is because Carrie fired her as a publicist.
Well, I just thought it was like, you're giving yourself a little too much credit there, Care.
Well, and then she says this line, I thought I was more to her than an ATM. So I think that was them speaking to Samantha. They're saying to Samantha, I thought we were more to you than an ATM, because the big issue was that she was getting paid a fraction of what Carrie was getting paid.
Wow. I didn't quite put it together like that, but that's exactly what was going on. They were literally mapping it out for us, which wasn't that Samantha was just difficult on set. Kim Cattrall was not just difficult on set. She was a more established actress from the get, not as famous, but then, wasn't getting paid nearly as much as specifically SJP.
Yeah, the first movie that they made, Sarah Jessica Parker made something like $30 million for it. Kim Cattrall fought to get up to the level of like $16 million, and then Charlotte and Miranda are stuck making $2 million.
Wow.
They both only made $2 or $3 million each because they didn't bargain. I got the numbers wrong because I knew I did. Okay. It says Sarah Jessica Parker got $15 million for the first film. Kristen Davis and Cynthia Nixon, Miranda and Charlotte got 3 mil for the first movie, 4 mil for the sequel. Was paid $7 million for the first film.
$7 million.
And Sarah Jessica Parker was 15. And that was apparently after Kim bargained for that money. And Charlotte and Miranda are left in the lurch making 3 mil each, which, girls, bargain for it. Come on. It was like the biggest chick flick of the last 15 years, or one of the biggest.
I mean, I guess when we're talking about millions, it seems like over the top to even care that much. I mean, I guess, and you could say, like, well, we couldn't do it without Carrie. But, like, the truth is, you could, technically. But you also, like, the four of them should be paid. If Sarah gets a little bit more, maybe. But, like, they should all be paid equally. Like, why would that? I just feel like that's my problem with money, I guess, in the end. Like, Sarah Jessica Parker actually should be the one to take one for the team and go, I'm going to give my salary to my sisters, because it is more than just an ATM to me. And, like, it isn't right that I'm getting paid. This is on SJP. How dare you get $30 million and then expect everyone to do as much work, grueling days, wearing Manolos, looking ugly in the tabloids, and spending as much.
So Sarah Jessica Parker never even has to show her titties.
She can't even talk about masturbating the first episode.
I know. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot going on, because also I know people who know Sarah Jessica Parker, and I've read things in the press about Sarah Jessica Parker, and everyone says she is the nicest person ever. I have never heard a bad word about her.
But let me tell you something. It has nothing to do with nice person. I'm sure she's a nice person. But money, when you start getting excesses of money and you think that you deserve it more than the people around you, you are there. It's the same way that Todd, later you'll hear, he's very like anti-abortion, and it's like, oh, he's brainwashed at that point. It's like the more money, that's why my dad and I got in this whole conversation last night about like business, and he's going, yeah, but that's business. And I'm saying, well, it's not going to be, because it's always emotional. It isn't sustainable. And now the wealth gap is too great. So like, actually, unless there is a huge shift in the way that we think about status in terms of money and having them be related, you know, I mean, yes, teachers should get paid more, but I mean, everyone should.
I know,
but
I mean, honestly, my teachers should not have gotten paid more than what they got paid.
Well, okay, I'm laughing, and I want to have, actually, let's put a pin in that. Now we're really fucking talking, so put a pin in it. We will come back to that conversation. Yeah. I like that. But I just think, in this specific case, I think Kim Cattrall has self-respect, where she's going, fuck her. You want her to have this, and then you're also going to not pay the other two enough? Like, share just work. If you want the show to be the show, share this fucking table and the fries with all the girls.
They should have been bargaining more. Their agents should have been bargaining more. And it's ridiculous. I actually think it's kind of ridiculous that Sarah Jessica Parker would be making 5 times more than all the other women.
It really is. I'm really turned off by that. That really breaks my heart, honestly. And maybe that's my own shit, but like, I hurt. It's not about like, it isn't about like the amount. And I understand. So I cast a lot of like corporate, like, so a few months ago, I cast a corporate comedy event. And so I had a certain amount of money that was given to me by the company to pay the comics for their sets that they were writing, okay?
Yeah.
I needed some of them more than others. I trusted some of them more than others. I knew certain of their, I mean, I hate even saying this, but it's like, I knew that people who, even if they were the most talented and were gonna do the best job, would do it for less than someone who like had a lot of followers for the most part. Because it's like, at the end of the day, the business is eyeballs, especially in advertising. So to have like influencers, I just wanted to make sure it was gonna be a good show because it was under my production company. But it was interesting because like, even paying my friend comics different rates and like feeling weird about not disclosing what anyone got to anyone else made me feel so ick. It's so gross.
And
I just feel like we're talking about money in terms of like the millions for a Sex and the City movie. That's enough money. There's enough pie there, everybody. That's so greedy of Sarah. If the minute that she heard what everyone was being paid, if she was actually a good leader, she would split it with them.
Right. But also, I will say, we expect women to do that more so than men. So me and you would expect a man to do that as well.
Whenever you hear these stories where it's like, I gave half my salary so that she can be paid more, it's like, we do like treat them like hero. But that should be fucking normal. Like, we do need to stay, artists need to stand up for each other.
Yeah. Also, Sarah Jessica Parker has a producer credit on the show and the movies, but it's like, well, who's to say the other ladies don't want a producer credit?
Right. And also, that means that she's getting paid quadruple the money money from a million different things and we'll always get residuals like that are multipliable.
Yeah. So, that, and like the thing that came out for this series was there was a rumor, this hasn't been confirmed, but there was a rumor that part of the reason Kim Cattrall walked away wasn't just the money, which has been an ongoing thing for her, but it was also because one of the storylines they had for Samantha was that Brody, Miranda's son, was sending her dick pics. And wow. Kim Cattrall allegedly, again, this is not confirmed. Allegedly, Kim Cattrall was like, that's fucking gross. I'm not doing like a pedophilia adjacent storyline.
Right. And I mean, he's literally 15.
Right. And you can see in this first episode, they talk about him jizzing in condoms in the first like 5 minutes. And it's like, oh, clearly that was top of mind for the writer's room.
No, it's like literally the cold open is I slipped on Brody's jism this morning. Like it yeah. is.
Did you say jism?
I don't know why. I just thought Miranda's an old fogey now. Jism. I was thinking like condom.
You were going to say jizzy condom and you said jizdom, which is really a great word. We need
that. I stepped in his jizdom this morning. No, but she steps in Brady's jizz. And then there's this scene where like he and his girlfriend are fucking like really fucking loud and dirty. And they're being like, fuck me, daddy. And like Miranda and Steve are just in bed like, harumph, we should have never let him have Cindy over or whatever. And it's like, yo, this is like, that's where they're trying to take the child. And it actually is pedophile heavy in the media. We really that's such a bad idea. It's yes. making that sexualizing the 15-year-old is at least make him, I don't know. I just think that's so weird.
Yeah, and like 15-year-olds are already sexualized. They are having sex, but like I don't care and I don't want it in my TV show.
There's a graphic scene.
Yeah. I also just think raise your kid. I don't think Miranda would be letting her kid do that.
Right. The thought that she is the most uptight of the housewives and is the one who's also just allowing her son to stop her from sleeping because he's fucking so loud and hard and leaving his loaded condoms for her to pick up is in right. fucking sane. It's actually insane in terms of she's a lawyer and she can't get her son to not jizz on the floor.
And she's in her 50s. I'm in my 30s. When I have a kid, I will never see that kid's used condoms.
What? Right.
Never.
I mean, if it were to happen, I would not shame them. But that wasn't the storyline. The story of mine is like,
I would probably shame them.
I would not. They definitely found lots of things of mine. But
I would be like, yo, you're having sex. You're using condoms. Amazing. You make it my fucking problem to clean up. not leaving the house.
Yo, number one, absolutely clean up is the word. Number two, I feel like we just saw the Jersey Shore. Like, you can take the girl out of Jersey, but you cannot. I mean, you just sounded so fucking like Jersey mafia parent.
The minute you make cleaning up your business my problem, it's your problem.
It's true.
I agree. Yeah.
To see your kids fucking condoms? Hell no.
Well, but it's not even to see it. It's like what she was saying. And it's, I think, clean up. That's why I say I think clean up is like the key word there, because it's like she actually was walking in his room and slipped on it. It's
you're
like
raising a beast. That's a right, beastly like, move.
You know what? Real men put stuff in the trash. I mean, look, yeah. You saw Molly's messy apartment today. The trash was in the trash, or at least near the trash. I mean, there was an effort to put the trash in the trash. It doesn't have to be perfect. You can have a few things laying on the floor. But in general, we need to agree that all the trash goes in this area just so that we're not actually living. Look, if there was actual trash around Molly's, in Molly's laundry, if there was trash, she wouldn't have put it online. You know?
Right, exactly. And also, I picked the four trashiest looking parts of my apartment. The rest
of
it is fine.
Of course.
It was
You're
for
not
comedic
a monster.
Effect. Yeah. But yeah, I just think raise your child. I don't believe that Miranda would be that permissive with her kid having sex. I think that when teenagers are having sex, they should hide it from their parents like normal fucking people.
I agree with that completely.
Yeah, guess who else hides sex from their parents?
Right.
Adults. Adults, right. You want to have sex? Your parents don't need to be privy to that. You need to use a condom, throw it away. You're mature enough to do the deed. You're mature enough to not fucking have jizz all over your floor. I'm sorry. That was the most unrealistic storyline.
Okay, but I want to also put a pin in the amount of times that parents have been too involved in my sexual escapades because of what a fucking wild little bitch I was would blow your fucking mind.
Oh, me too.
We've got to talk about that on the next app, because like what you're saying is so right, which is like I think back, I'm really grateful that nobody shamed me for getting caught, but I totally agree, right? And it's the same way, like you don't want your kid, we're not fucking in public because you're our children and we respect each other. That's not something like
that's right, not let's something all have anyone
respect
does
for the space. Right. Let's have respect for our space and have this be a safe zone.
Yeah. I was shamed a lot for like being not sexually active, but like doing things when I was younger. And I think it was a bit much and it turned into a scapegoating, but mm-hmm. I do think there is a place for shame in the sexual milieu. I think we should be too ashamed to jerk off in public. I do think that that's a very useful place for shame to reside. You know what I mean? Like, I think that the shame exists for a reason and mm-hmm. it should be internal. It should be, I'm not going to do that. I shouldn't have done that. It shouldn't be other people putting it on you. But I do think it's got a little, it is a little useful. If I slip on my kid's condom, I am shaming my kid.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess it's just like being really specific about what you're shaming people about.
Leading up to the shaming, I will have a very open conversation exactly. with them about that. But it's just, exactly. if I see the evidence, we're done.
You're not shaming them for being a sexual person. You're yes. shaming them for making your house disgusting with their sexuality.
Yes, exactly.
essentially.
Another thing that irked me a little, and I do want to say overall, I was happy to see the girls back and I'm happy to see this and I'm going to watch every single episode.
I watch it with my mom. When you're like the 60-somethings and still get fucked in lunch or whatever, Myra, 63, cracking up. She thinks it's the funniest thing she ever heard.
Oh, I'll have to ask my mom what she thought.
She's like, for us, it's like seems offensive because we're like, what, 60-year-olds are not viable? But you know what? It's a joke for the 60-year-olds because they don't feel viable.
Yeah. Oh, well, I wish they would know that they are viable. I thought it was really well done how they dealt with adding in some diversity in terms of gender identity and
yes.
race and things. And I really like how it wasn't like the way they did it in the first movie where Louise from St. Louis is just like truly the, and I'm saying this because this is the real name. This isn't because I use this word, but the magical Negro trope.
What is that?
So a magical Negro trope, it's like a film and literature concept.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
A black person shows up and just saves the white person's life and then disappears when they have no more use for the white person. It was
right. So you're saying basically Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah, exactly. Her character was textbook that trope.
And that is, for the record, a term that Molly learned in film school. It's not actually something that she is, this is not her language. This is what they call it in the academy.
Right, exactly. And it's not a good thing. It's not a good trope. It's a form of tokenism and it's not cool.
Yes.
So now it looks like the new black characters that they're introducing, really great that there's more than one. I mean, clap it up. The professor who Miranda meets, she's not just automatically being like, oh my God, thank you for hanging out with me. I live to serve you, which is what unfortunately they made the Louise character do in the movie. So yes. I think
they gave her a whole storyline, which is like, she also has like a fertility. She's the new Samantha is the truth.
Yeah. It seems like she's going to be in the inner sanctum.
And the other friend with the kid that was also having a recital is also a woman of color.
Yeah. So it seems like they're actually incorporating these things in a way that is smart and interesting and like they, you know,
like supportive of integration in an actual way.
Yeah, they read a few articles last
summer. they read a few articles.
They saw the infographics.
LOL. Yeah, they're not who you're angry at. They did do their research afterwards.
Yeah. Question. Does Charlotte still live in Trey's apartment with Harry and her kids? Because that's weird.
Whoa.
It's still Trey's apartment that she got in the divorce.
Still Trey's apartment. I mean, they did get new wallpaper.
Yeah, but it was that little entranceway with
the... No, it 100% is Trey's apartment with like a snowflake wallpaper.
Right, like what are you doing? That's so
that
weird.
That is Trey's. Well, except that I guess for them, especially because Harry isn't the... I mean, maybe this is my own shit, but like Harry's not like the most erotic. Like I sort of feel like that was what Harry got them in the divorce. Because he was her divorce attorney to begin with.
Oh, true. Okay. Also, the daughter, do you remember in the movie when the baby was born and she looked like a clone of Harry?
I hadn't until you mentioned it, but now that you mention it, certainly.
We need to look into where that actress is now.
And does she still look like Harry?
Right, because that was
not her. Yeah, because there's a whole new Rose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I couldn't believe that Charlotte was like, you have to wear the dress. You have to wear the dress.
It's just so Charlotte, though. It's like being with these characters again did remind me that, like, in the same way as like Seinfeld, it's like Sex and the City really is such a fucking classic. And yeah. While I was like triggered by so many things in the episode, I was oddly relieved by those triggers because I was like, yeah, you raised me. Yes. You guys are the people. The writers did stay very true to the exact characters that they built from the beginning. And I appreciate that so much.
Yeah, because it is a sitcom at the end of the day. It's basically right. A sitcom with prestige wrapping around it, you know?
HBO comedy.
Yeah. I really like that Carrie has a podcast now. I think that's very
funny.
What did
you think of that scene where she wouldn't talk about masturbating?
I mean, it's believable. She's in her 50s now.
Right. It is interesting, though, because I thought they did a really good job of reframing who Carrie would be now, which is that, like, the Carries of today aren't, like, blogging from their apartment, which is a studio full of Manolos. It's actually, like, queer people talking about sex in an actually raunchy way. And yeah, I like that they dated her.
Yeah, like, when's the last time an article or podcast about heterosexual dating made any sort of an impact on the world?
Right. The literal only person I can think of is the Carolyn. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That's my mom knocking out her pipe.
What?
Was smoking weed. I think we just answered the question. I've just been choking upstairs and I've been worried that it's like hitting the mic, and I just went and got us pizza and now I hear her knocking out her pipe and I realized that the coughing was actually because you gotta cough to get off. She's getting stoned up there.
We need, our moms need to meet. They have so much in common.
Gonna have a great time.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, there, no one cares about straight sex anymore. Sex and the City actually killed it. Like,
oh,
sex
what I was going to say
was the alpha and the omega. Like, it's over now.
Well, and of course, it was written by a bunch of gay dudes, which are like, yeah, we actually are like an
Ouroboros. There was a lot of women who wrote it, too. There were a lot of women who wrote it, too.
The Washington Post has an advice column by Carolyn Hacks that is very good. And Cheryl Strayed has the Dear Sugar podcast, which is out of the BU. That's why I know Boston University radio tower. It's from the BU studios, whatever, WAMU. But those are the only two advice columnists that I can think of to this day. And the truth is they are dinosaurs. They're just sort of like relics that we appreciate. And like,
well, I don't think that's really sex and dating. I think that's more interpersonal. Like, it can kind of work with anyone. Do you know what I mean? Whereas Sex and the City and that whole 90s, 2000s raunchy sex writing thing was about like the physical mechanics of like, should I do butt stuff? You know?
Well, and I guess that's why the character on the show, the queer host of the podcast, was like, we need more from you, because I like that it kind of showed the difference between the modern, more verbal, more immediate age versus like the sitting home and typing behind your computer and being safe behind this plexiglass wall where you could control your words versus the ability to just do what we do here on the Space Trash Podcast, which is run our fucking mouths.
But also, like, her whole thing was not talking about her own sex life. It was talking about other people's sex life.
And it was, and like, answering the, like, philosophical questions about if he this, then what if this?
Yeah, so now you kind of have to debase yourself by talking about your own shit. Like, I actually...
Luckily, we were raised that way. Luckily, that's how I was raised. So I'm like, oh, great. I've been doing this since I was, like, at parties when I was 13.
Yeah, but also, like, I don't know if I've ever heard an interesting conversation about masturbation. Like, I don't know if
now
I want to.
That's a good point. Whoa.
Right? It's not that interesting to talk about.
Okay, damn. Sex and the City is still the best. Fuck. But it's like, it's so great because they actually did nail it, which is not only that there's no interesting conversation about masturbation, but the truth is the reason that there's not an interesting conversation about masturbation probably is because we are all uncomfortable disclosing the actual, I mean, the way that they were talking about it in the show was like,
boring.
Where have you masturbated in public? Where have you masturbated? It's like, that's actually not that intimate either. Like, nobody really is being intimate, even if it appears to be raunchy.
And it's like, I don't know. Get over it. It's not like cool and interesting to talk about. It's like
the scene where Carrie was like masturbating in front of me. I'm like, are you kidding me? You've been on again, off again for at least 30 fucking years and you've never seen him jerk his fucking dick off? What the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah, and I didn't need to see that either, especially
that was weird.
What was about to happen to him? I was like, really? This is what we're doing for Big's final hurrah? We're watching him jerk it?
Big dies.
Yeah.
At the end of the first fucking episode, I didn't even see the funeral scenes beforehand. I wasn't expecting a death. I was literally not sure what to expect. I go, oh yeah, let's talk about the pod. Let me watch the first episode with my mom. Oh my, no, Molly, I was taken aback.
Those were the notes I got. People were like when I put on my Instagram story, what are your thoughts? Everyone was like, I will never recover. I can't believe this. Someone said, why didn't Carrie call 911?
Why didn't she call 911 immediately? She doesn't need to be, don't you fret, Monsieur Marius. Yeah. No. You know what I'm saying? She's literally fucking Eponine out there as if she doesn't have a phone right there.
I know.
They had cell phones. Eponine would have called the ambulance.
And then they go, and just like that, Big died. I almost threw my glass of water at the television.
No, fuck you guys. Fuck you guys. What and do you think we are? You think we are stupid? You think we're stupid?
Like, that's like saying Sex and the City, Big died.
It's devastating. They're showing how much this couple has evolved. I mean, the entirety of the series was Big and Carrie breaking up and getting back together and non-commitment. Then we had two movies about will they or won't they get married. They finally are married. The relationship seems great. I did hate the dialogue in that the initial scene where we saw them in the kitchen, I thought, this sounds too righty. Well, you know, it's like Carrie.
No more girls.
Right. It's like you're in your 50s. You're talking a little slower. Just, you know, she was so like, I got to set my pussy up and it's like, come on. But I thought it was cute. I thought it was romantic. I thought, gosh, how interesting. What are they going to do? As someone who didn't see any spoilers, what are they going to do with this relationship now that it seems to be definitely stable? So then when he died, the film student in me was like, okay, now we have a plot line. Either it was going to be that or like he cheated or like they broke up again. The whole storyline did complete in the marriage. And now the only thing to do, I guess, was really to kill him.
Yeah, because he's already cheated. They've already had the baby conversation. He's already left her at the altar. It's all already happened.
Her life was perfect, which means that it has to now become interesting.
Yeah. But I don't know.
It was the only time we've ever heard her say John, really, other than that final episode of the series. And it was the only time they referred to her ever as Mrs. Preston.
Oh, I never saw that part. When did they say Mrs. Preston?
When at the... Oh, I started episode two. That's where. Sorry.
Spoiler!
In episode two, in the first 5 minutes, they do refer to her as Mrs. Preston because now she has to plan the funeral.
I don't want to watch someone plan a funeral.
Right,
year
right.
Of death. It was even just triggering to watch him die because I have like such a fear that...
She should have called. Did you have that thought? Like the phone was sitting there. We do know that it can handle a shower. I know it's been through the wash and the ocean in my case. The phone works. Call 911. He lifted his head. He's alive. Call 911.
I know. It was weird that they showed the phone.
Don't you fret, Monsieur. Mr. Big. I don't feel... Please!
I know. Well, I'm excited to see what happens. I do want to say just on the COVID topic, it was very weird that they referred to COVID at all. I was like, we should really just be pretending this didn't happen.
Dude, that's like when you watch Law and Order, every once in a while, there will be like a few jurors or like a few people in the courtroom wearing masks. It's like, but Mariska and Chris aren't. So like, this is television. We can suspend our disbelief into a time when this was not COVID. Come on.
Yeah, none of us want to remember that COVID happened. New York's not even operating in that way yet. Like people are still wearing masks inside. And like the whole thing of Sex and the City was when they were planning it, whenever they shot it, you never saw winter until the final season because they shot it in what they called eternal spring. They were like, which is hilarious because there is no spring in New York. It just goes from freezing to ball sack hot. There's probably like two spring days, but the entire show takes place in this fake spring that doesn't exist. So I'm like, if you can make it fake spring, why can't you make it fake not COVID?
No COVID. That was where like the scene in the kitchen with Big initially reintroducing him and any discussion of I miss masks, I would air kiss without masks, all of that. It was just like, okay. It's almost, it felt like patronizing.
Yeah. But also, is it like 2 years from now? Like, is it ever going to be normal?
What I expected was that Carrie was going to show up in the first scene with some tutu that has a matching mask. Like, your mask at the show last night should have been on this premiere episode.
The Les Mis mask.
Molly posted a photo from seeing Les Mis wearing, not only did your outfit and body look incredible, but the mask. Tell us about the mask.
I just got a Les Mis mask. It was only 3 pounds.
If Carrie was who she says she is, there would be a matching tutu mask to go with her dumb outfits, okay? I also hated her gauchos with the, like, wedding Manolos. I hate gaucho pants.
Oh, I didn't think they were gauchos. I just thought they were, like, cropped wide leg. You're showing your whole calf with gaucho.
Okay. I'm not into fashion until we watch the Met Gala, so I'm just kind of a newbie here. But to me, when she was trying to catch the cab after the big recital, also, I had the thought, under no circumstance could you convince me to stay for Lily's recital.
Just in general?
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's because of my own shit. It's just
it
like,
is
wow.
Weird to have like an entourage of a bunch of 50-year-olds at your no one gives a shit about her piano recital.
I want to say, as your friend, should I ever have children, I will never. I don't care if you come to my wedding. You're my friend no matter what, okay? You do not have to sit through the shitty ass middle school music recital under any circumstances. I would never put anybody. It's the same as like destination weddings to me. It's like, don't have a destination wedding and don't fucking require me as your friend to go to your kid's music recital. Send me the video. Don't you have a phone?
Right. And like, I'm not going to watch the video. Well, I'll watch the video.
So my mom wants to say on the record that she has a big prediction.
Okay.
She wants us to know that she thinks the storyline for the season, and I said I wholeheartedly disagree, but she's choking upstairs and she wants to be on record that she thinks that Carrie is going to, quote, develop Alzheimer's, quote. She's like, yeah, that's what happens. She's like, you don't even want to remember. So then you just kind of like Tom Girardi. My mom thinks that Carrie's on her way to Tom Girardiville, where he doesn't know anything, remember anything, because it was so painful.
Here's what I think. I don't think she's far off, but I do think what they will do is incorporate a Samantha Alzheimer's plotline just to twist the knife a little bit.
Whoa. So you do think there's going to be an Alzheimer's hint to the season, but it's not actually Carrie. It's going to be Samantha getting fucked at 60 with the Alzheimer's in London.
Like, did you hear Samantha has Alzheimer's?
Whoa.
And she also gained 20 more pounds.
This is the clit that's the shit herself, aka Molly Gaby. You know, Molly, I always say your name Gaby. Do you pronounce it Gaby?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. Okay, so same.
Why? So what? Molly Gaby is a friend of the pod. She's a friend of the Moonuel. She's a Moonuel stalwart. I think I can say that.
Yeah, you're with three Moonuel stalwarts today, people.
And one thing that was not wordy was the clit costume she wore when she got arrested in front of the Supreme Court. So, Molly, we want you to tell us all about this momentous occasion. What happened?
From the beginning, and why were you even, like, so for the people that weren't there, like, you need to understand, when we're saying Molly was dressed as a clit, we don't mean a pink pussy hat.
No. Right. Absolutely.
It was literally like if Elton John were to do a clit costume, it's what you were Elton John as a clit.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So that my head was actually, I don't know if you saw CNN or ABC, my picture in it. Any press is good press, especially good press. So this, the costume is actually a vulva. So what, and it's a winter vulva. We have two, I work with.
What is it, hairier?
It definitely is hairier.
Wait, Molly, have you seen the clit costume in full?
Of course.
Okay, great.
Bye. So I love that you specify that it's a vulva, because a lot of people, especially on Real Housewives, don't know that what you're looking at when you're looking at someone's junk is that's the vulva. The vulva is the word for external stuff.
Exactly. Most of the time when you hear someone say vagina, they definitely mean vulva.
You're talking about the top of the cowboy hat.
The top of the cowboy hat. Absolutely. All the folds in the cowboy hat.
Right. Very good.
But we have two costumes for the vulva. So I work with Abortion Access Front. That's where I'm always going to DC with. I've been working with them for 6 years. We do this kind of shit all the time. So we have multiple costumes, and we've got a winter clit / vulva and a summer vulva, which is very sexy. And actually,
the summer vulva, does it have like sand caught in it?
I should absolutely make it more realistic and just
And stretch out the vagina a hole more a little bit, just because, you know, that's the hoe time.
Exactly. And, you know, speaking of that, people get, they are so much more up in arms when they see the summer vulva. I think because the winter one is more abstract, you know, like the Like, if from far away, you're like, oh, this is just like someone dressing up in like a fun pink costume. And you get really got to get up close to see what it is. Same with the vulva. But the summer one, it's a very tight form fitting dress. And it's very, it's just, you see the labia, minora, majora, you know what it is. So when I got arrested in DC this week, I don't think some of the cops knew. I think the female cops had to spread the rumor of what I was.
Yeah, yeah. Had to spread
the leg rumor.
Exactly.
Damn. That was a common refrain, by the way. But by
damn,
the,
okay, take it out. It's hack. I'm not a hack.
No, I mean they don't mean it as a joke. There's literally street preachers out there yelling in their microphones for us to close our legs, because we would need abortion if we could just close our legs.
Oh, there's another Todd.
Yeah, there's more Todd video to come. I stood as Todd next to the street preachers and just recorded, basically was just like, oh, hell yeah, what he said after he said
shut the
anything
fuck
horrific
up, Molly.
So there's more of that coming.
Let's explain a little bit. You are a character comedian and you are friends with this guy named Todd who you went down there with. And he
Thank
is,
you,
I think, he's going to be joining us later to tell us his side of the story because he's a little bit more pro-life. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into that. But so you're saying that you've been working with Abortion Access Front for a while. Is this your first arrest? What is Abortion Access Front? They are just an abortion access front.
Yes. So basically we were founded by the co-creator of The Daily Show. So we basically use
name drop.
Name drop. Liz Winstead. We use satire and parody and comedy to tackle the abortion issue and bring attention to it and educate people. And we do a ton of independent abortion clinic support. Like every summer, I mean, before COVID, we used to do a tour where we traveled all around the U.S. doing shows in cities with independent abortion clinics. That's, and by the way, that is basically any abortion clinic that's not Planned Parenthood. It's the local guys, the scrappy ones. So that's what we do for Abortion Access Front. So these big actions and rallies, it's a huge part of what we did, which I also can't believe I haven't been arrested yet. I've tried to be arrested. Didn't
that's
happen.
Amazing. Yeah. You're the Jane Fonda of the Moonule, clearly. So why are you so passionate about...
Put that on the website, Mal. Put that on the Jane Fonda is... That's a really good way to describe it.
Yeah.
It would be an honor.
You're the Jane Fonda of abortion access, which I'll she could that. Do a little more for abortion access, I will say. But why are you so passionate about abortion access? Are you just a big fan of Dirty Dancing? What's your impetus here?
Yeah, Dirty Dancing was my gateway drug into abortion. I saw that movie so many times and truly had no idea that it was about abortion until later.
Right? You're like, she has talk a really about bad this. Cold.
We talk about this on this podcast way more than you could possibly imagine how much the abortion in Dirty Dancing comes up. It was Molly was right. Molly, one, tell Molly, two, the factoid that you told me about why abortion is, I mean, I guess we could cut this if anyone's heard it. I'll edit it. But
you always
tell,
say
me, tell her what you told
it,
me.
And then you don't edit it. First
I know. I just go slowly. I just move slower than you. But wait. What? Tell her what you told me.
Okay, when you say that, I think it's like when Bart Simpson had to clean the steps of the church and he did it with a toothbrush, the shittiest possible job, so that he would never be asked to do it again.
I think some of my edits are good. I have to do calls after. By the time I start working on them, you're just waking up in the morning and then you're like, fuck it, I'll do it. But
yeah, basically.
I'm a late night worker. Anyway.
Okay.
Bottom line is Molly told me something that is going to blow other Molly's mind. Read Dirty Dancing.
The woman who wrote Dirty Dancing, I'm pretty sure her name was Eleanor Bergman. It could have been Bergstein. I'm sorry if that's anti-Semitic, but it was one of the two. She wrote it in such a way that the abortion could not be written out of, couldn't be cut out. Like, the plot doesn't work without the abortion. So she was really smart for doing that because, of course, when the movie all came together, because it was a really low budget, it was a B movie, you know, it wasn't supposed mm-hmm. to make any money. So when it all came together, the studio was like, hell no, we're not putting out a movie with an abortion as a central plot. It's fucking in Reagan's America. There's no way. And she was like, all right, well, you already sunk this much into it and you literally can't cut it out because the film won't work without it. So they were like, fine. And they just like didn't market it. They did know, like, they basically tried to like, they didn't try to sink it, but they were like, there's no way this is going to be a hit. And then obviously it was a huge fucking hit. And it's like the only movie with abortion in it.
No, it's literally the original Abortion Access Front.
But anyway, Truly. So Molly, tell us what makes you so passionate about this. And also maybe throw in a little bit of context for what was going on this last week when you were arrested.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've fell into abortion. And I mean, I've had one myself, but that was way far
who
into
hasn't?
My, I know. It just seemed like a ridiculous issue that even existed. It was so obvious to me so early on that the people on the other side of this issue are just the easiest people to make fun of. And it seemed like it just seemed like a very fun issue to get involved in.
You're in it for the material.
I'm definitely at this point in it for the material. Yes, I believe.
Well, it's like one of those things where it's, well, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but it's like you had an abortion yourself. So like, it is a personal issue to you, but like, if you could select an of all of the, cause it's like, sometimes I'll be like, I want to be more cause oriented. Right. But then it's like, well, I could do this. It's like, when you have a personal connection, it's one thing. When you have a personal connection and the people on the other side are completely fucking buffoonish, I think it becomes an easy, this is the work.
Absolutely. A lot of people find it depressing to be involved in this issue, especially now. But it's what other issue is it where you meet your nemesis, you know, at the steps of the Supreme Court, and one side literally thinks that the other side is murderers. And that's the thing. Every time, one side takes it so fucking seriously and thinks you're going to hell, fire forever. And the other is like, come on, let's just dance and sing and let us have control of our bodies. It truly blows my mind every time we meet them there. And so this last rally that was at the Supreme Court, it was a huge abortion case that we have been gearing up for a while. So basically, we've been sounding the alarm for decades. Nobody pays attention to the abortion issue because the laws that they pass are very boring on a state and local level. And everyone's like, nah, it's just Texas. It's just this little county. But the people in the movement see that people just copy and paste those laws until they get to a national level, until they get to where we are now, which is, you know, states passing 6-week abortion bans, and everybody seems to be shocked. And we're like, we have been telling you this for forever. So basically, every state has been trying to pass their own challenge to Roe v. Wade. There's been 6-week bans, 15-week bans, 20-week bans. They all come with their own illogical justification. But the one that made it to the Supreme Court is a Mississippi law that bans abortion at 15 weeks, which is unconstitutional.
Isn't it 3.5 months?
Yes. It's viability, which they argue is changing all the time. It's most often understood as 23 to 24 weeks, but they're trying to argue that, you know, now because of science, you can keep a fetus, an embryo alive. And it's just like, not possible, but you can say whatever the fuck you want in court and have a lot of people nod along with you and be like, yeah, science.
So their argument is if you would be able to keep this fetus alive in a lab, you shouldn't be able to abort it.
Yes, exactly.
So then, like, you shouldn't be able to fucking flush Tristan and Chloe's frozen embryos down the toilet when she finally wises up. But they're going to, you know? It's the same thing.
Yep.
Well,
yeah.
Well, but actually, that's a question. Can you... do they flush that's interesting. I was going to ask you that. Like, so can you... if you do in vitro or whatever, if you harvest your eggs, can you release them?
Yeah.
Like, can you say, because I thought that they stayed in the bank for a billion years until they like basically expired.
No.
Interesting. Yeah. No, there's no way, you know, that buildings lose their leases and they just throw them in the trash and throw it at some
That's
point.
A good point. It actually is a real estate issue.
Yeah. Also, this just like that just highlights, because to me, that's the same thing. Those embryos could technically become a child the same way that a fetus could become a child. So the fact that no one gives a shit about the embryos proves that it's just all about controlling women's bodies and sexuality.
I mean, exactly. Not to mention like Breonna Taylor could have also become an adult.
Oh, they don't care about people once they're born.
Right.
That's not too thing. Heavy, but do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
It's like
no,
it's this whole argument is so fucking stupid because it's like, hey guys, we don't care that much about people. Why we act like we care about people?
Right. If the pro-life, because I grew up Catholic, so I grew up with a lot of anti-abortion rhetoric and propaganda around me. I even went to a virginity retreat where we learned, yes, that every abortion is a partial birth abortion. They basically were like, every time a woman gets an abortion, what they do is they induce labor and they stick a like prison shank into the back of the baby's skull and then, you know, get like it, and then they just like throw it away in a dumpster. So like I grew up around all this rhetoric and I do understand the people who make the argument this could be a life one day, so it's wrong to extinguish it. But like I get that on its face, but then, okay, put your energy into birth control and helping mothers and sex education, but that's never what it is. It's always just penalizing women. So that's why it's like, it's clearly just not that.
No, yeah, this is a great cover issue for just wanting to tell women to fuck off. It doesn't require really much of you, this issue, because there's no person speaking behind the person you're advocating for. It's just, you show up at a rally, your high school is bused to the Supreme Court once a year. You, you know, give the guy next to you a little hand job. You go to the rally, you say, protect the unborn, choose life. And then you go home and you can consider yourself a quote, pro-life activist. There's nothing beyond that.
Well, yeah. And it's actually kind of crazy too, because even you saying that is so demented, because it's like, you know, it's like there's nobody to speak for the fetus. It's like, well, actually, the women who've gotten abortions, I think, probably are good advocates for the fetus, if anybody. I mean, there are voices behind the issue. They're just alive,
right? Or the families of women who were able to get an abortion when they weren't ready to raise a child, and then went on to have a happy family because they didn't have their entire world rocked when they were too young to have a kid. Like,
yeah.
Also, if you are fine with getting an abortion, like, I don't know why that needs to be anyone else's business. Like, it just has nothing to do. We're all on the same page with this.
Do you use Cottonelle or do you use Angel Soft? That's a bad analogy. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. Do you remember when Lena Dunham said that she wished she had an abortion, but she didn't? That was funny.
Wait, when did she hear that?
She was on a podcast and talking about abortion access. And she was no, I wish I got the chance, but I never did, kind of thing. And everyone was like, are you fucking crazy?
Listen, anyway, it's a day off of work. I mean, for some people, for other people, not. You got to go back into work.
Right. And for some people, it is really traumatic, too, which is why, like, I wish that we would get past.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The access conversation, and then move on to the conversation of like talking about what it's really like and making it easier for people. And you know what I mean? Like, because we're stuck in this low, insanely low bar of, can we even get one in the state we live in? We can't even start the conversation of, okay, how do we make it the most comfortable, like, experience, non-traumatizing experience possible? Or how do we fucking get people on birth control or to use condoms so that they don't need to even get one in the first place? Like, we can't even have that conversation yet.
Yeah, there's no room for nuance because we're still fighting the women are people, you know, argument. We're like, we have control over our bodies. And after that, we could, you know, have more discussions about how to expand the circle of the experiences of abortion, stories. But I mean, those people are definitely doing that work for sure. But
yeah. it's just hard to get to that point unless you're like already in the trenches of really understanding and like being a women's rights advocate. Like if you're just a random teenager, you're not getting the right information about any of this stuff. But anyway, tell us about the arrest. So you're in the, you're on in front of the Supreme Court. You're dressed like a clit in the winter. It's furry. It's got, I guess, like control top pantyhose on for the added warmth. I
mean, no.
It looks like Elton John. I thought she was Elton John at first glance.
So how do you know when you're getting arrested? How do you know it's about to happen?
Well, they give you three warnings. So it's definitely like civil disobedience. You know what you're getting into. I am happy you brought up the control top leggings, though, because I will show you the tape of me getting arrested. So we're all on the ground. So you block traffic. And then the battalion of Capitol Police comes over and on bikes and on foot. And they give you three warnings.
Like bicycles?
Oh, yeah.
Fucking I am losers. Come on. Get a real vehicle. What are you, Dutch? Fuck off.
Oh, Molly, next time you have to be there and just say that to their faces. They would love. But
wait, can we see the video? We could either post it or show us if you.
Yeah,
if
we'll
you
post have the video, but tell us.
Dying to see this. This is incredible.
So you sit down, you block traffic on purpose. The Capitol Police come over. They give you three warnings through a megaphone. So it's very intentional, the arrest. So then once the
are
third
they like
warn-
the brain cell level of person who screams into megaphone because they don't understand that it's already broadcasting their voice?
100%. And they all have the same
mustache. Okay, I take offense with that. Not only do I sit here with a mustache, but I'm screaming to the microphone every fucking episode. So I don't know what the fuck you mean by that, but I take it personally.
Because you're already being amplified.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, but I'm that idiot. So I just want to say, this is not a podcast that is just one-sided, okay?
Yeah, this is a backup career for you, for sure. Okay.
But so what are they saying? What is the warning?
The warning is that if you don't, I don't remember the specific verbiage, but it's basically like, if you don't get up now, you will be arrested. This is your first warning. And then they say the same thing and they go, this is your second warning. You will be getting the third warning. And then they give you the third warning and then they're basically like, well, we're gonna arrest you now. And we're like, woo, okay.
Sort of like a third trimester abortion.
Wow.
Exactly. Exactly. Except you don't get warnings for that.
No, and their arrest isn't viable until after the third warning. So maybe they should take their own fucking advice.
Your own advice, motherfucker.
Hypocrisy.
It's not an arrest until it's a goddamn arrest. It's not a baby until it's a baby.
Boom.
Yeah. I'm always wondering. I mean, I'm sure it's majority anti-choice people on police forces. But then they start taking you one by one and they... You know, there's a lot of options. We did it. And as far as arrests go, this went really well because they didn't put our hands behind our back and zip tie us or anything. They basically gave us what looks like a wristband to get into a club. And then they'll have one
That's
cop.
So awesome.
Yeah, this arrest story, they can be a lot. This is basically as well as an arrest can go. They can go really poorly.
Well, and I want to say how stupid they are, because if I were there arresting your fucking gorgeous big titty ass, I would fucking be locking your arms behind your body and fucking, please, they do not know what they're doing with women.
So true. So true.
Absolutely not. Yeah. And I was looking around. I started laughing, crying right before they picked me up because I was just thinking of how absurd it is that the first time I got arrested was in a big hairy vulva.
Dude, it's so right. No, it's so right. I couldn't be prouder.
It does make a lot of sense. So,
okay, be honest. Mm-hmm. Were any of the cops hot?
Yes, 100%.
How many?
Four.
What was hot about them? Did they have that Joe Pesci at the beginning of Home Alone vibe where it's like dirtbag or what? Mm-hmm.
What's hot to me? I was trying to pick out the dorkier, like, for the male cops, it was kind of like who didn't have a ton of friends. And I find that attractive.
Okay. Little serial killer.
Yes. So the cop who actually arrested me was not hot at all. But I was sitting, the guy who booked me, adorable. And, you know, we had some banter going on. I was like, do you even know what I am? And he was like, I'm sorry, I don't. I was like, it's a
he was like, I'm searching for it in my head, but I can't find it.
And you're like, dude, I'm right in front of you. I'm showing you where it is. I'm here.
Oh, yeah. There were some. Yeah, there. I was, trust me, Molly, same page. I was scanning the crowd.
Yeah, yeah. So when you get, did they put you in a cop car? I've honestly never like talked to someone who's been arrested. So this is really just, you know, did they put you in the cop car? What happened? Did you go to jail?
No. So again, this is my disclaimer. If you get arrested, it will probably not be like this. So they when there's rallies and big protests,
right, you
like
are on
this,
the Jane Fonda plan. They're like, yes, there are big A-listers protesting on the steps of these buildings. We have to use kid gloves.
This is basically as privileged as it gets when it comes to getting arrested. And I will say, you know, we talk about it as an organization beforehand, like who's willing to get arrested. And the Black women always opt out because it's a whole different ballgame for them. Oh, as
no,
I would
too. 100. No, we should, as the white women, especially as the white women dressed as clitoris, we should be opting, like putting ourselves. Sorry, I'm smoking a joint.
100%.
Yeah, putting ourselves out there first.
Yeah. So this story is like fun for me, but I'm just like putting a disclaimer out there that I do acknowledge that for because of who I am and what I look like. It was a fun experience, but
well, it wasn't. I'm sure it wasn't fun. You're being a little facetious.
I will say I was laughing a lot just because of the absurdity of the situation.
I'm glad that it wasn't like, because this is like a specifically woman-hating group. I think it actually is, I think a feather in the cops' hats who are like, okay, I can't deny her pussy power. This big clit, treat her gently.
But I also don't think cops are necessarily going to go hand in hand with anti-choice. I think they probably don't give a shit for the most part. You know, like, I don't know. It's just an inkling.
Until it's their daughter.
Yeah. When if it's their daughter, they're going to make her get an abortion, you know, like out of wedlock. Like, I think that's kind of what the plan the cops are on. I think the cops probably think that the religious protesters are way more ridiculous and like wouldn't be on their side. I don't know. And I'm not trying to be like, you know, ACAB. Obviously, we are ACAB podcast. We love Les Mis, you know, but the
Molly saw it again last night.
Are you serious?
I saw it on stage for the first time ever. I've never seen
it. Wait, I thought you saw it in New York. No?
No.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. Okay, so now you finally know what I mean when I talk about the Mighty Ducks flying V at the end. You finally know what I mean.
Yeah, so, okay, I was a little bit.
Oh.
I didn't like the way they staged it because at the end, it's the most boring storyline is the love triangle. It's so boring. And then they show up. All the good people fucking died so that the two blandest bourgeoisie-ass motherfuckers could go on. I was like, wait, we really went through this whole revolution just so that like the upper middle class could thrive? This is actually more depressing than if I hadn't seen the play.
Bro, I am so happy that you finally have seen it because number one, that staging, not to pull focus here, but real quick, that staging is like, that's Bible. Like they're never going to re-block the show. It's like that's like part of that. But like the same way that like the Rent set, like that's the set for Rent. We're not in the 80s anymore. Now it's just a period piece. It's like this or 90s, I guess. But like that final, do you hear the people sing? Where they all step out. We're all of a sudden in a triangle. And then
they weren't in a triangle. Actually, they were straight across the back. And then
Cosette
and Marius were in the front. But it was the same thing in spirit. But I liked it better in the movie because they're going around the barricade and they're doing like dolly shots of Paris. And it's like, okay, this was for the people. But
Wow. I gotta be honest. Go ahead.
The guy who played Javert was really, really talented, but I refused to clap for him the whole time because I was just like, fuck you. And he, all of his, like, Nick would be like,
testament to his performance, though. Let's send him a clip of this. He should know that.
No, and then at the end, when he spoke, he delivered a message to the crowd and he had this Essex accent, which is like basically Cockney accent. He was like, all right, geezers, I'm a little nervous to be doing this part of the show. I don't know why. And I was like, oh my God, he's like working class hero who's like not a cop at all. I was like, oh my God, I love you. I need to follow him on Instagram. He was so charming. And I felt bad for not clapping for him.
This is reverse.
It's not his fault he got cast as the cop.
Well, in fact, you loved his performance, first of all. I mean, you believed him. That's why it was so amazing. I just, like, so many things are just rocking through my mind right now because Molly, I don't know if it means as much to you as it does to me and other Molly, but, like, Les Mis really means the world to us. And it is, I would say, aside from Dirty Dancing, the lifeblood of this pod. And
it really is.
It really fucking is. Like, it's so weird how we'll be like, there was a funny clip, and then she'll send me, like, a 15-second reel or whatever, and it's, like, another... Do you hear the people say? It's unbelievable how much this has folded into the narrative of the space trash world. But what I will say is, number one, almost as crazy as anybody being pro-life, to think that somebody has seen Les Mis, the movie, before. It's like when you hear, like, oh, I saw the movie, then I read the book. This to me is like that on hot. I'm like fucked up about it. I always thought you saw it in New York.
No. Ooh,
number two, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. I am wrong. They didn't do the Mighty Ducks V at the end. Molly, Gaby, have you seen Les Mis on Broadway or ever live?
I have.
Duh, okay.
They did the V. This was when I was much younger.
Well, I think this is a new staging. It's got a special name. I forget what the name was. Also, they had colorblind casting, which they had.
What?
Right. So when they brought out all the washerwomen, all the laundry women, I was like, let me find the most anemic Anne Hathaway, Audrey Hepburn-esque white-ass white girl. That's going to be Fantine. Because I was like, I want to check her out before she starts her solo.
Right.
And it turned out they cast a black woman in that role. And she was fucking incredible.
Amazing.
Yeah, but here's what, and the guy who led the revolution was a black guy, and he had the, oh my god, his voice. Nick and I turned to each other at the same time and we were like, his voice is insane. He was insane. But they still cast fucking Cosette as a little, like, anemic white girl.
Well, I think it's hard for any of us to believe that at the end of the look, Markle's having a hard enough time as it is. At the moment, it's a little bit too much to suspend our disbelief that it's not an anemic white girl that's in the palace in the end. Just the way things are now, until the monarchy falls, that's like, we can think about black revolutionaries, but to think that the person with the money with really no talent, the most boring music in the show, her, that, to be able to sing like that doesn't mean you have a good voice. It means you're fucking annoying. That high of a, like, to do a whole, like, that high register soprano.
Yeah.
What's her big song?
Nothing.
Oh, right. I can't even remember. I know. Oh,
there is a castle. No. They should have, listen.
That's when she was 10. What about, I'm talking about Amanda Seyfried.
Nothing.
Nothing.
They should have cast, like, young black actresses to play those roles too. It really annoyed me that they didn't go all the way. It's like, okay, we found one black woman who was good enough, but, like, the other ones all have to be white. That was really stupid. And it reminded me of when I saw Hamilton here in the UK. And it's just how funny. Like, I'm not in the business of saying one country is more or less racist than another. I think every country is racist and it manifests itself differently, okay? But in the UK, I think there's an awkwardness around race that goes unspoken. And when I saw Hamilton here, instead of colorblind casting, they cast every role in the same ethnicity that it was originally on Broadway. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, Hamilton's wife was Asian.
Oh, no, you're kidding me. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Angelica was a black woman. Like, it was all, and, like, the main guy was Caribbean.
Wait, Molly, like, you're, like, really fucking me up.
This was not the point of the way they cast Hamilton. It was not like, now Eliza is Asian forever. Like, that's not the point.
Okay, so here's a real question.
The best actors get the roles.
Right, duh. Here's a real question, though. Here's a real question. It actually ties it all. It ties it all together. Would you rather go down as a pro-life, anti-Molly the Clit, like, what would you even call them? Like, not activist, like, rabble-rouser, protester. Mm-hmm. Okay, would you rather be one of Todd's friends, Todd or his friends?
Religious nuts.
A religious nut that is fighting for women's right to not choose what they do with their body, LOL. Or would you rather be the person responsible for going, okay, I found a perfect Angelica. Oh my God, I found the most perfect Asian the most perfect Asian right. Skylar sister. Oh my God. I found a guy. He's Puerto Rican. He's 5'1". He's going to play Hamilton. Right. Like there's like, which is more of an embarrassing character? Like if you were on your deathbed and you were like, oh, which would you be more embarrassed about?
I would definitely be more embarrassed to be an anti-abortion protester.
I don't think I would.
Really?
I'm torn. I'm thinking about the inner life of both of these types of people too.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you, the anti-choicers seem to be completely unthinking, absolutely unself-aware, right. Unbothered, unpressed,
exactly.
On everything. Yeah, they just seem to be coasting, and you know, that's a life choice for sure.
They're not going to have the introspection to even be ashamed. Whereas
they're going to be so proud. They're going to be like, at the end of the day, what I did was tell that girl that she was a walking shark for getting an abortion. And that was such a fucking good one. Whatever.
One white ticket to heaven.
Yeah. Like they really do think that
they feel good about it.
They don't realize that they're subconsciously trying to control women. Like they really consciously think we are protecting babies. Like,
well, and beyond liberating that, women.
Beyond that, they're actually what they're, that's why Todd is such a great guy you met. I think it might be your cousin. I don't know. We'll figure out. But he is such why I immediately was like, oh, that's, we need him every week because it's a way to have these conversations without actually being the annoying person at the party.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. So important. And it's like, oh my God, sorry. I smoked that joint. I lost my train of thought. What did I start the sentence as? Hold on.
I don't remember either. I think that the person who cast British Hamilton was operating from a place of fear of offending people. And like, I think we can all relate to that.
Yes, but real quick, I remember my point, which was that they think they're doing it to control women, but they don't. The deeper, more embarrassing thing is that they don't even know women. They have no opinion of women. They have no thought of women. They are actually just like seething in. It's like, it's hard to even find, like, what's the right word for it? It has nothing to do with women at the end of the day is actually the hard thing. It's like walking bruise. They're walking bruises. They're just like they have no connection to themselves at all. It's like they're literally like dementors in Harry Potter is how I think of it. I guess what I'm saying.
Okay. I could.
It's not about women, actually. It's about like, we are not safe.
Yeah.
We're already ghosts. It's people saying, do you hear the fucking people say?
They're both operating from a place of fear. Now, okay.
And they're ghosts. Molly,
I know that Todd has a hockey practice to get to, so we do need to
soon. Hold
on. So can you give us your final thoughts, Jerry Springer style, about your arrest and how it went and how can we support the Abortion Access Front?
Great. Yeah.
I forget what Jerry Springer does for final. He just wraps up his show.
Yeah.
Jerry Springer gives his final thoughts at the end of it. He has final thoughts.
And it says final thoughts on a screen behind him. It's like,
okay, right.
We could have figured this out. We realized there's only 2 minutes left of the show. Like, we realized these are your final thoughts.
bold of him.
But that's what's like. Molly's pro-life, she's pro-choice, so she contemplates.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So my final thoughts would be we need more people on the ground showing up. So if you have ever thought about dipping your toe into getting involved, please reach out to an organization like Abortion Access Front. Like there's power in numbers. And especially when the media covers that, the media is actually the thing that's been fucking us over and got us to where we are because they did both sidesism for so long. And there's actually not two sides. There's bodily autonomy and then oppression. So be conscious of the words that you use. Like, don't say pro-life. It's anti-choice or pro-forced birth, because that's reality.
Oh, I love what. Now that's a rebrand.
It actually
that's
is
a rebrand.
Yes, I mean
that's
and
fucking
it's also
awesome.
The truth.
Yep.
It's the truth as well.
Yep.
So
wait, say that again. I love that.
It's not. Stop saying pro-life. It's pro-forced birth.
Fuck
is their stance.
Yeah, dude. Fuck. Oh my God. Make it merch.
I would love to make it merch.
Let's do a Todd sweatshirt. The minute I fell in love with Todd. Well, actually, can we bring him on?
Let's bring on Todd.
Hold on.
Todd! Tell him about who's
Todd. Yeah, don't bring up his stepdad.
Yeah. Don't bring up his stepdad. Don't bring up sex.
Oh, Todd.
What do you want?
Hey, Todd.
Hi.
Hey.
Todd, how are you?
I was napping and now I'm awake. So what do you think?
Oh, sorry.
Jarred from unconsciousness into your feminist hellscape. So what shall you want from me?
Okay. So we heard that you were at the protest with Molly down in DC at the Supreme Court.
Front and center, took all the attention. What do you want to know?
So why did you go?
I'm here to stand up for the fetuses who can only curl up in that one position. I'm here to be the voice for little babies who don't have vocal cords yet. Because because you can't move, think, talk, feel pain, or exist, doesn't mean you shouldn't have a slightly higher, vote than people like women walking around. So
okay, that is sensitive. I hear where you're trying to advocate.
Choose life. So, there could be a little life inside you right now. You could be holding your own, you know, what's that guy with the red hair? Sean White.
Sean White? No. You mean Chucky?
No. Chucky didn't win Olympic medals. Oh. Chucky's an abomination.
Sean White, the fetus?
The professional snowboarder.
You're saying his dick's in me or his baby's in me?
Follow the thread. Choose life.
Okay, Todd. You're right. You're right.
Todd, can you tell us a little bit, like, okay, I'm trying to respect your position. So the only way to not get pregnant is to not have sex and not be raped. So how are you contributing to women not getting pregnant?
I've been doing a lot of work around bringing back pencil skirts for women. I've been raising money. I think we need to bring those back. It limits the mobility and hence the sexuality of every woman. So that's basically,
have you ever seen Mad Men?
Right. I was just going to say, I actually couldn't wear pencil skirts to my real estate job right after college because it looked like I was, My ass too fat for a
pencil
skirt.
Oh, I see what you're saying. They do enhance the sexuality.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
They look like a boner. It's shaped like a boner.
Right.
The pencil skirts?
Yeah.
Pencil skirts. But if you're like more of a, if you have an hourglass figure, not only do they look like a boner themselves, but then it also looks like a boner with like a tumor.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm bringing back cloaks for women.
Cloaks.
Sort of to cover the whole thing up at once, just sort of like a dog catcher would throw a bag around a dog. I'm going to equip every man with a quick throw cloak to throw around a woman, flaunting their sexuality.
Men have the cloaks and they throw them on the women when they feel like they're in danger of being too sexy.
Absolutely. Thank you.
What about you yourself, Todd? Are you dating?
Oh. I am on the verge of dating. Thank you very much.
How do you know the difference between not dating and being on the verge of dating?
I pray about it. You never know. The world is a mystery. It's in God's hands. And I feel like I've been on the, on the edge of God's hands for a while. He has a plan for me. And I'm sure it involves a very sexy woman with a very small waist and big old titties. I'm sure that's his plan. But, you got to be patient. That's the number one rule of the Bible. Be patient.
Are you going to save yourself for marriage?
Great question.
I will neither confirm nor deny. Here's the thing. I'll answer your question with a question. What is even saving yourself or marriage?
It means not having sex. Only a little kiss. Only a little kiss before you go walk down the aisle in your church.
Not even a big kiss.
You know what? God has a plan, and God's plan for most men is to basically have as much sex as possible. And pre-marriage, post-marriage, I mean, the goal, of course, is to save yourself. But if I perchance happen to fall into it, yes, I will have sin. But was it God's plan? 100%. But what's not God's plan is for women to have premarital sex and get pregnant, because if they do, they have to face the consequences because they went against God's will and now they have to have a baby.
So, Todd, let me ask you this, because this is actually a good segue into one of the things we're going to talk about. I'm just curious about your opinion. I don't know how into, pop media you are. So, Khloe Kardashian, her on-again, off-again baby daddy just got, how do I phrase it without getting arrested, Molly? Like, allegedly, there's another woman that is about to have his baby. So this would be like three babies in 3 years. And yeah. It is a horrendous
with
media.
three different moms. And he offered her $75,000 via Snapchat to get an abortion, allegedly.
Wow. Wait, so he offered not Chloe, one of the other,
a personal trainer from Ohio or something.
Wow.
A personal trainer, yeah.
That sounds like God's plan. That sounds like a plan. That sounds like,
yeah, because you think that it is because he's also on a TV show with Khloe Kardashian, and they've been working on their relationship publicly, and he has been playing the part of devoted guy trying to get his family back, even though there was a baby that was born a few months before his baby or whatever. Right. And then he was caught the night that the baby was born fucking two strippers in the back of a. So this guy clearly is, like what you're saying, having a lot of fucking sex, but he is getting a lot of people pregnant. You know, I guess, like, so you think it's a good thing. But what about the moment where he messaged the girl on Snapchat to get an abortion? Like, so for a minute, he was weak. Mm-hmm. Like, can you, from the male perspective, can you talk to us a little bit about what that's like?
You put it perfectly. For a minute, he was weak. Yes, we all have our moments of weakness. We may fall. We may trip into the chasm once in a while. But when it, you got, sometimes you trip into the chasm. And God is
clear. And then the chasm gets pregnant.
Chasm get, and the that chasm then is it is no good. Longer our responsibility. God's clear about this. Men have more mulligans than women do.
And
mulligans? Yeah, men get more mulligans.
What's a
is a golf term.
What does it mean?
It means you get more tries. You've never said that. God, I gotta teach women everything. A mulligan is a term in sports and then now common parlance, mm-hmm. that when you make a mistake, you get another chance. It's not technically
What's your advice to Tristan now? He's got two kids living in two different states and one on the way, all with different women.
Yeah, I would say this. Continue, my fellow bro lifer, too. Continue to be fruitful and multiply. And the haters will hate, for sure. Absolutely. But at the end of the day, it's not about the journey and how big of an asshole you were or how much money you offered people to pay for your abortions. If you, at the end of your life, look back and say, I did it. I persevered. I believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You're good, my bro.
So it's like, nevertheless, he persisted.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you. That is a perfect.
Chills.
That's merch. Chills. That is merch. Nevertheless, dude. He persisted.
Todd, are you are you a family values kind of guy?
Oh, 100%. I support Josh Duggar all the way. Until the end of time. Anybody who just says they're about family values, I'm on their team, no matter what their actions say.
What if they to possibly raise the right way and one of them becomes a molester because they weren't raised by anyone?
Oh,
and because they're in a church that encourages you to be a molester.
I was going to say, it actually is in the curriculum.
As long as the church preacher is saying all the right things, it really doesn't matter what happens behind the scenes. This is a problem with people. You're so focused on what happens behind the scenes, the reality of stuff, the real life situations. That is not the bigger picture here. The bigger picture is here is holidays, families, spending time together, Thanksgiving, holidays. Ornaments on the trees. These are the things that you're going to look back on your life and remember, not the legal suits and the whose rights were violated. That's water under the bridge, my bro. Okay. You're not going to be thinking about that on your deathbed.
That's so what what are your thoughts on the metaverse?
I'm a fan. I'm team. Okay.
Because it's just like holidays and sort of milestone
events. I think he thinks we're talking about Meta World Peace, the Knicks player.
Oh,
yeah.
He's a fan of, right,
he's
okay.
A fan of him, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll move on from that. I have one other question. Have you ever been on Snapchat? Sorry.
I do want to hear Todd's thoughts on Josh Duggar.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yes, yes. You're right.
So, more. Sarah, what's the update? He got charged with what?
I was overwhelmed because I was like, I can't believe she brought that up. And it was like, it was on the fucking list, you fucking psychic ass mulligans.
Todd's pronouns, so. I think, are he, him. I don't mean to assume your pronouns.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
All caps, yeah, he, him, yeah.
I apologize if I was insensitive. So, nevertheless, he will persist. Okay. So, basically, Josh Duggar was indicted in multiple counts of child pornography downloading. So it was basically like he had been accused publicly of molesting his sisters and his cousin, who were also just the other classmates, lol. It was like the whole thing was this. Now, specifically, actually, I will talk about another time, but I went and researched. I did a documentary, or I started to make a documentary in 2017 researching this homeschool curriculum church, because there is another comedian, Brooke Arnold, who I was working with, and we were like, yo, we just gotta, this is really her story, and it's an incredible one to tell, and I love her, but we did try to make a documentary about it, and we investigated, and we went and we saw the homeschool curriculums, and like, you wouldn't believe, Todd, you'd actually love it. I should send it to you, because it's like, literally, like, it'll be like, this is a frog, this is a graph, this is, like an elephant sitting on an apple. Okay. And then it'll be like, this is what happens if you get sexually assaulted. And it's like, number one, think about how you may have like called it upon yourself. Number two, I'll send it to you. It is like the most pro. When I say it's in the curriculum, it is in the curriculum. And it's the same church. The Quiverfuls are a part of the same fundamentalist sect as the ATI, which is the one that I was investigating. But like, it's the same concept, which is just basically like, the point is that women are here on earth to make as many babies for the man as possible. That is what it is. And so I actually think that this could be a good curriculum, if and when you find that girl. It actually is a perfect place for Todd. That's really funny. I never connected that. But that's what the Duggars are. So they had this show, 19 Kids and Counting, blah, blah, blah. So he had molested the sisters. It came out. Somebody found like a journal where someone was writing in the Bible, like, Josh molested me again. It was literally like, I mean, really, talk about cries for help, okay? Aww. It was like, that was one of the ways. Then, you know, he dealt with that privately, which meant that they sent him to like some rehabilitation center. But again, because I investigated, what I know is that it's actually the ATI headquarters, where they're basically like pretending to discipline you, but really they're just like, you know, figuring out how to make sweatshirts and how to make money and how to like get people to come to the next event. And it's all just like, you know, and they're losing followers left and right after these, you know, the Duggars were good for a minute for them, but that's, you know, as high as you get is as low as you go, right? So basically, then it came out, the feds showed up at his house, Jen Shaw style, and were like, actually, we need to see your hard drive. Then the whole fucking embarrassing family that's been on TLC this whole time, preaching about family values and about how they're really just doing it differently and right. And it's okay. So now all of the victims are sitting in the audience because they're his sisters, and then his wife and their 9 kids, and all of them with their 9 kids, and none of them are even wearing pants. You know, maybe some of them now are. I think there was a big article I read a few years ago that Jill Duggar started wearing jeans, bad girl, and Jana wore shorts. So like, the whole thing is lol. It's so painful. It's also fucked up. So anyway, finally he got indicted, and now when I was reading earlier, the parents comment on it, and like the family's comment, it's all like, this is really unfortunate, and all we can do at this time is support Anna, his wife. I mean, it's like they're not even commenting on. It's worse than Erica Jane not caring about the victims. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's literally like sort of stepping over. If our son's actions have hurt any women, we hope today you felt that justice was served. It's like,
and any women is their actual daughters.
He's like, literally, he's the Ghislaine of Christian fundamentalism. He's going down. Everyone's the little black book. Then they're just there. But they're like, actually, Ghislaine gonna just go to court for us. And Josh is like, yep, I'm the oldest son. That's the whole culture, is that. I mean, it's literally in the curriculum. So yeah, anyway, that's the whole story. Yeah, I don't know if I have so much to say about it, because it's like, I can't believe this story has come to a conclusion, or at least like, I can't believe there's another plot point in this, because I really was into it for a minute. And it's just like, yeah, he went down. I am really interested. They all have TV shows. I'm so interested to see. Although I'm actually not, because Todd, you're right. It literally is what you're saying, which is that the whole show is just going to be like, after a tragedy, you have to surrender to God. And like, they're just not going to address it at all.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the silver lining in this is always what you have to look at immediately. And, you know, again, the details of the case, all that blah, blah, blah. Light at the end of the tunnel.
Sorry.
Josh Duggar once again has resumed his position as executive director of the political arm of the Family Research Council, a pro-life, pro-family values organization that's taken pictures with hundreds of current sitting Republican politicians.
Right. So
he will ascend to the throne one day, I'm sure, because two words, another witch hunt. also, bodily men, okay, if women get bodily autonomy over their what happens in their uterus, men get bodily autonomy over what happens on their hard drives. Stop coming for our hard drives, okay?
Wow.
Every man has there's nothing good. If you go digging around on a hard drive, every man has something bad on a hard drive.
A hard drive?
Yes, you know, everybody. We all get issued our floppy disks when we are birthed, and then you get to put on it what you will. No,
I feel like
should be able.
I feel like you're just. Well, I feel like you're describing like the crypto mindset, which is like it's space. Like what you're saying like because the hard drive isn't me, I own it. This is mine. Therefore, you shouldn't have the rights to touch it because it's my hard drive, and I'm saying it's the most valuable, and it's mine.
Very interesting. This is a world I will get into.
I think it is actually, yeah. Cryptocurrency. I think Todd needs to really learn about ATI and cryptocurrency for sure.
Todd, I have a $60,000 NFT to sell you if you can get your paws on your stepdad's Amex.
Whoa.
Listen, if the cause is right, I will do anything to hurt my stepdad. I'll even donate to feminism. I don't even care at this point.
Okay, now you're talking.
That's cool. That's cool.
I mean, that was a step too far. I take that back. But yeah.
Do you think that Josh, last thing I'll say, as Josh Duggar's kids, like what is a message you would want to say to his kids that now have to kind of, and his family in general, but like his children?
Never give up. Never give up. I might just leave it at that, honestly, because it's so good.
That's actually, it's to the point. I know what you mean. Yeah. So never give up. And okay. So that's really your dad wanted
I think that
to
covers
know,
it.
Never give up. Yeah.
That pretty
good.
Much covers it. I mean, there's no nuance that they need to, they'll be fine.
They're not going to see the nuance anyway. Todd, you know, we did let Molly explain how people could support Abortion Access Front, and in the interest of both sidesism, which I know you and Molly both love.
And us too. We're a fair journalist. That's what we care about.
Absolutely.
Tell us about your movement and how people can support that.
Great. I'm so glad that you brought that up. what we need is more boots on the ground. I was also as we actually brothers, pick up your arms, meet me where I'm at. You can go to hopefully brolife.com. I'm just kidding.
Well, right now you can come to the Moon Mule and see him speak.
Yes.
On right a now, topic every week, and we will secure the bag.
What is Bro Life? I don't even think you said.
Oh, sorry. This is how humble I am. I didn't even tell you that I was the leader of the Bro Life movement because there's a bro in every embryo. And if that appeals to you, which it should, please join me in my movement. Come to the Moonual where I pretty much do my street preaching every 2 weeks to tell these misguided astrological star fuckers what's best for them. You know what I mean? So
I consider it Todd's like mission trip.
It is. It is my mission trip. I give this disclaimer at every Moonual. I do not want to be there. However, I
right.
am called.
Exactly.
Yeah, I am called.
I actually have a question that I've always meant to ask you at the Moonuals, but I never did. Is there a bro in girl embryos?
Whoa.
I'll answer that question with a question. How dare you?
I just mean if they're like is brodom chromosomal, is it what like
yeah
if I don't have a Y chromosome, how could there be a bro
is definitely, you know, of course we all know I'm a gender essentialist, there's essentially two genders, so bro is of course a gender, but in the beginning, you know, there's a sense of brodom.
What's the other gender?
Bro and chicks.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Chicks.
You're either a bro or a chick. But bro is a state of being. Bro is a way of living. You know, because you could be a chick and be part of the bro life movement. Don't twist my words into some liberal talking point. You know, don't do it. Not on record.
Okay. Okay.
We're sorry. We're not here to. This isn't a gotcha pod. This isn't a gotcha pod.
We're not here to humiliate you.
No, we totally want to understand. That's what I'm saying. It's like when I'm talking about the guys like Todd, I don't know if you heard when I was talking to Molly earlier, I was saying like, it's not that guys like you hate women. It's that you actually have like no relationship with women or like a lot of things about yourself.
Sorry, repeat that. I'm getting a text in from my stepdad. He says to tone it down. What was the question?
What's really funny is my dad actually also just messaged me that. Go ahead, Mom.
I think the question was, do you hate women?
Yeah.
No, I just, of course not. I don't even know what it feels like to hate. I just intensely dislike that they get to do whatever they want most of the time. And I know best for them. I mean, there are some people who are bad at being parents. I don't know. I don't know why I started saying that, but I basically had a Tamagotchi and I kept that shit alive for so long. And I feel like I should get some brownie points for that. And all I get is somebody yelling at me because they said I stole their hats.
Okay, right.
I don't even wear a hat.
Well, it's like, I hear you saying that, like, it feels like you're not being acknowledged.
Yeah, no, I'm not being acknowledged. I need to be singled out more and put up on a pedestal as God intended. It's just humiliating and demoralizing when you are born as a white male into this country and you are not head of household in any, you're not respected as you are head of household, father of your domain, as they say.
Right.
That is also the state of mind.
Start your own household. Why don't you start your own household?
House of Todd. If you have to go, Todd, please feel free. And thank Molly for us if you are still with her or whatever. I don't know. Again, we're going to have to figure out how you guys know each other because, like, I'm sort of unclear, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, we're and related, Todd, but more acquaintances than anything.
You're related, but you're more acquaintances. Kind of like any of the Duggar siblings.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I have one more really, really quick question.
Absolutely. Sorry, Todd.
When Molly got arrested, how did you evade arrest? Because you were with her.
Whoa.
I was on my, what do you call it? Segway. I fucking skedaddled out of there.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's cool.
I got right the hell out of there.
That's cool.
They didn't even have a whiff of Todd by the time I'm...
Were you on your Segway the whole time or did you step off and like have it next to you?
Yeah, sometimes I'll step off and walk it like I'm courting it like it's a little promenade, but...
Right,
you know.
Right. In this case, were you already standing on it or did you actually like hop on like, you know, like a cat and zoom off?
Oh, yeah. Hopped on like a cat. Basically, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. So you are athletic.
Yeah. Who said otherwise?
Oh, no. I'm just we're just saying it's a compliment. We just mean it in a good way.
Good.
Yeah, that's no. Yeah. Yeah. We think you're cool.
Poor you to
Thank
the
you
FCC.
So much for. Okay. Okay. Let's talk about that next time on the pod because we acknowledge you and we're trying to see and
Thank
hear
you.
And we are not ignoring that. That's why when I met Todd, I was like, you need to come to the Moonwall because it made me think of the incels. I was thinking about school shootings. I was thinking, you know what? Somebody has to work with these guys because they actually don't have a problem with me. They are like literally like the light isn't on.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
You identify as an incel, Todd?
As a who? Incel?
Yeah.
Some days. Some days.
Other days it's voluntary. Other days it's voluntary.
Some days it's voluntary. Yes, exactly. Some days I choose. Some days I don't choose.
Sort of like incel or empowered. It's your choice.
Yeah. Thank you. And empowered. So
it's all about how you look at things.
Thanks, guys.
This is great. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Todd, for coming on the pod.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, this has been a nightmare. And I'll see you in the funeral.
I know you don't have socials, but you probably go on Molly's sometimes, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely, I do a Todd takeover of Molly's socials. That's at Molly Gaby. Molly spelled the normal way. Gaby's an insane last name. So it's spelled G-A-E-B-E.
Todd, you can go if you want because
I got an appointment.
But to be continued. Sorry, I know it's so fun, but or
we're
stay.
We're gonna crop
but...
this out because now I am plucking my chin whiskers.
Oh, I'm getting the hell out of here.
But we have so much in common. You see how much we have in common. Bye, Todd. Thank you. Love
bye.
You.
Bye. We love you.
Oh God.
See you at the moon on the 17th. Okay. Bye. LOL.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.